Let's talk about the auto industry, because I think a lot of people have some misconceptions, and I brought in the, are you the president or CEO of the RADA?
President of the Rochester Automobile Dealers Association.
Brad McAreevy. You've been in here before. Usually you're coming in here to tell us about the auto show, which you've
told me. I will be in a few months.
You will be coming back soon,
yes, right?
Right. Okay. But I just ran into you, and I said, come on in, because I think a lot of people have some misconceptions about the car business these days. I mean, there's a lot of questions. You know, they talk about the supply chain. They talk about this. And we just mentioned before we opened up the microphones, how many chips there are in our car, computer chips in our car. There's like a couple thousand?
That was the quote from Senator Schumer at a press conference here recently. He said between 2,000 and 3,000 chips. I know there's a lot in there. I didn't know that that was the number. But the semiconductor chip disruption is the main driver behind the manufacturing disruptions that's going on in the auto industry.
Isn't that crazy? This 3,000-pound or whatever, 6,000-pound vehicle, and it's all held up for these little chips that weigh nothing.
The cars are mobile computers
today.
I mean, everything that operates, and it's not just the console, you know, that you see. It's all the technology in your radio and your phone and all those types of things. It's everything under the hood of the car. It's all driven off of computer technology, and it's part of the reason why vehicles are a little more expensive today than what they've been in the past. It's a very sophisticated vehicle.
I just admitted to you how dumb I felt when I found out that I didn't have to press the button on my fob to unlock the doors of my car or my trunk lid. As long as the fob was in my pocket, I just pull once and then it beeps and it opens up the next time.
Correct.
And I just discovered that recently. I've had the car for 2 years.
Yeah, there's all kinds of... It's almost a little more than probably what any typical person would need.
And I don't have a high-end car either.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got my car's like 26 grand, not even.
It's like your phone. I mean, there's a lot of technology on there most people don't even use.
Exactly, yeah.
We don't even know it's there.
It's there. You always look for those articles about, did you know you have these hacks for this and hacks for that? So what would you say the general... overall, business-wise, is it coming back? I mean, are we getting level again? I mean, the business itself?
I will say this. A couple of things have happened recently that are going to help us get there. The federal government just passed a piece of legislation called the CHIPS bill, which Senator Schumer was in town a few weeks ago talking about. I attended a press conference with him. They've committed $52 billion to the semiconductor chip manufacturing business here in this country.
So we're not dependent upon foreign.
Exactly. The goal is to not rely on other countries to produce these chips, get it done here in this country. And obviously there are companies that do it, but we produce a fraction of the chips that we used to produce years ago. So that money is committed toward helping companies get into that business on a much deeper level. And so we can basically resolve the current issue, but also not get into a similar situation down the road.
And I mean, it's got to be job creation. It's got to be a lot of stuff.
It's all those things, right? Correct. And so it's definitely been an across-the-board heavy disruption to the auto industry. Just on the new car side, manufacturing is way down across the board. Dealer inventories, as anybody can see, are not what they normally are. So it's basically resulted in a lot of people who are in the market for a new car to look at ordering their vehicle. Instead of going to the dealer's lot and looking at what's in inventory and buying right out of inventory, they now go in there. They might see a model of the vehicle that they want. Might not be the exact one they
might
want.
Might be able to drive it.
Right, drive it and make a decision they want to buy it. And then they sit down and they order it. And they can spec it out to the exact needs that they want. Which is nice.
So it's just a different process now.
Yeah. Ordering has always been there.
Sure.
It just wasn't the norm.
Right.
The norm was to buy out of inventory and you have a car, you know, the next day.
Right.
So people are starting to get used to the idea of ordering. And that's kind of what the industry has evolved to. I don't know if that will always be the case, Dino. I think once the manufacturing issues are resolved and production levels are able to resume uninterrupted,
the inventory levels
will
come up.
We'll see inventory levels bounce back and people will be able to go in and shop again.
And what it's really done is made the used car business just go crazy.
Yeah, so the two things are connected to one another. So it filters down. The fact that the new car market is what it is, both consumers and businesses that would normally turn over a fleet of cars, So on the consumer side, I'm talking about the leasing business.
Yeah.
In New York State, it's a very heavy lease-oriented
right here.
Consumer. Okay.
Yeah.
You would normally turn your car over in 24 to 36 months and lease another
exactly,
car.
Exactly, exactly.
There's a lot of people out there that are holding on to their car because there's not another option for them.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So I have the option of either buying out my lease and holding on to it a little bit longer. There is some short-term lease extension options in many cases. But they're holding on to that car. And so that causes the normally flow into the used car market disruption. Fleet vehicles, daily rental companies, they normally turn those cars over fairly quickly. They're not turning them over as quickly.
Right, right.
So now we shift into the used car market and the shortage that exists there. Interesting thing about the used car market and why it's different than the new, it's very much a supply and demand market, but most consumers have a car to trade in
right.
as well. Well, the good news is your car that you trade in is worth more money today.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But the car, if you're looking to buy another used car, that car is probably going to be a little more expensive today. So what it essentially does is it elevates the transaction price on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
You get more for your trade, you pay a little bit more for the one you're going to buy. It just elevates the transaction. And on a net basis, you might not be a lot worse off than you were before, but you're just operating with different numbers.
What's the average age of a vehicle on the streets these days? I mean, people are keeping their cars.
Historically, it's been around 12 years.
No kidding.
The average age of a vehicle, 12 years, yeah.
I know people, my wife finally, I got her, not a new car, a new-to-us car, 2 years ago. The van she was driving prior to that, which she loved, was a 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and she just, in 2020, finally I go, you got to give it up, baby. We can't, they won't fix it anymore to make it legal.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the good news, bad news story. I mean, the good news is vehicles last a lot longer
today.
Oh,
yeah, her van only had 90,000 miles on it.
Yeah, well, that was probably just as much of it as anything, right?
Yeah.
She just wasn't putting a lot of miles. I mean, there's obviously people that put 90,000 on in five,
right.
6 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, vehicles do tend to last longer these days. They're better built. People just maintain them
right.
and do a good job, and the value of those vehicles will hold.
And the American cars have caught up, I would say, with the foreign cars too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think, again, the overall industry has gotten better.
Right.
And part of the reason why, you know, the manufacturers are motivated to make a better product because then they don't have warranty claims.
Yeah,
they don't have warranty claims. They don't have recall. That's an expense to a manufacturer to have warranty claims. If I build a not great vehicle from
right.
a quality standpoint, I'm going to incur warranty claims.
Sure, sure.
So there's been a heavy concentration on building a better product. And in doing so, you minimize your warranty claims and your potential recalls and those other expenses that come after the sale.
Now, the radio business went through this a couple of years ago, but now it seems like the auto business is going, there's only a few owners.
There's less owners. And I would say, you know, it only came to Rochester recently. It's actually been going on for quite some time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. The first publicly owned retail auto industry, okay, was mm-hmm. Republic Industries, which ultimately became Auto Nation. That
okay.
started in 1995.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wow.
So
all right.
This whole concept of large dealer groups
right.
has actually been around for a while, and it's sort of steadily grown. It's just grown in other parts of the country more. It was very heavy on the Sun Belt, let's call it.
Uh-huh.
All along the coast, the West Coast, the South, and the East, very heavy activity going on there. And now that those markets are pretty saturated, let's say, they're now moving into territories that they previously weren't in. Here locally in the last 2 years, we've
right.
seen a lot of activity in that market. We've had some large dealer groups that are
right.
they're privately owned,
yep.
Large dealer groups. They've become very active in the consolidation and acquisition business. So we've seen it here in the last 2 years. It's been going on actually for quite a while.
The average car dealership, they employ a lot of people. I don't know if the economic impact of one dealership, how many families are fed through that dealership is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, purely on an average basis, the average dealership on a single store is roughly 50 employees, 50
right.
to 55 employees. So when you start looking at dealerships that are, you know, 10, 15, 20 dealerships, you know, you're talking
yeah.
thousands of employees. So yeah, they're very significant economic drivers in the community, not only from an employment standpoint, but from a sales tax revenue generating standpoint, investments in the community, investments in facilities. Car dealerships are one of the biggest drivers of economic activity in most communities they're in.
It's wild. Now, just recently, let's just talk about the California deal with electric cars.
Yep.
Now, that's what they said, what, it's 35?
2035.
That just means they're not going to sell combustion engines anymore, right? They'll still be on the road.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
And if I think a lot of people are taking it as like, you can't have a gas engine on the road after 2035. But
no,
that's not the case, right?
They passed legislation that will prohibit the sale of any new ICE vehicles, internal combustion engines. It'll have to be all alternative. And I say alternative because there are other... There's other technology out there that would qualify.
There's others
hydrogen
coming down the road.
Cells.
Really?
Hydrogen fuel cells are still a very, very valid option. Hasn't gotten as much attention as EVs, electric vehicles.
Right, right.
But it's out there, and it's very... it fits into the mold of zero emissions type vehicles. So, but California has been certainly on the forefront of passing legislation, and they have what's called... The California Air Resource Board, CARB, it's called, and they set their own standard for emissions control out in California. They have significant environmental issues out there.
Absolutely.
So they do things out there that are sort of ahead of the curve because they have issues. Other states have chosen to follow their lead on that. New York is one of them. New York has similar legislation to California. But California has set standards along the way to get to 2035. They have a standard in 2026, a standard in 2030, a standard in 2035 to get there.
What EVs, I mean, they don't have dealerships for Teslas, right?
But there are no dealerships in this area.
Okay.
Tesla has a service facility down in Henrietta. But in New York State, Tesla is allowed to have five sales facilities in the state. They're all in, let's say, downstate New York area.
Right.
The closest one is in Mount Kisco, which is east and a little bit south of Albany.
Oh, okay.
So that's been the case since 2014 when an agreement was struck between New York State, Tesla, and the auto dealers, the franchise auto dealers, the associations like I represent. And it's been that way since then.
Yeah, because they butted heads with Tesla for a while, didn't they?
Well, we do. We just have a difference of opinion about how cars should be sold and serviced.
Right, right.
That model that they utilize, we think, has a number of shortcomings in terms of service to consumers.
Right.
It doesn't allow for shopping for price, doesn't allow for warranty repair and protection. It doesn't allow for a number of what we call protections and services to consumers. You know, the activity that goes on there is corporate.
Right.
So obviously all the money flows, you know, to the corporate office, whereas I just said,
not here, right, yeah.
What dealers are community drivers in their community.
Now, some of the manufacturers, like the Fords, aren't they leaning towards all EV eventually?
They have some ideas on how, in terms of going to EVs, I mean, almost every manufacturer is committing.
Right.
And I would say at this point, Dino, it's an aspirational goal.
Mm-hmm.
They've all set a target where they want to transition to electric vehicles, and they're all working toward it and spending billions of dollars to get there.
Right, right.
So Ford is one that's, I think, very outspoken about it, but General Motors is right there with them. Honda's with them. Other manufacturers are on a similar path.
How many will we see at the auto show coming up?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, as many as we can get our hands on, I think, is the answer.
Right.
We're going to try to do something a little bit different this year. We're going to try to get what we call an EV zone of vehicles.
Okay.
And we're going to try to bring as many EV products as we can into one area of the auto show so people can come in and take a look at them on top of what might be in the brand area of that representing.
I've never driven one. I know you have.
I've ridden in some.
Oh,
I've actually never driven one myself either,
Come
but
on.
I've ridden in some. Yeah, it's It's
the head guy at the RADA.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, there's not a lot out there to drive right now. But
not a lot of loaders,
you know, one thing you're going to find out about them, they have a lot of acceleration. Electric motors are very high torque,
right?
High acceleration vehicles. So that's probably the one thing people notice the most. And it's quiet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's no engine noise, you know, whatsoever.
So give us the date here. We're almost out of time. Mm-hmm. You said it's coming back. He's got to look in.
Hang on.
I stumped him.
I just want to get the dates right. I think I know off the top of my head, but I just want to get it right. But yeah, we're on pace for the 2023 show. We're already working plans toward it. Thursday, March 2nd through Sunday, March 5th.
Okay, early March of 2023.
I'm sure I'll be back sitting with you leading
Absolutely.
Up to that.
Brad, thank you very much for the update. Like I said, when I ran into you, I just thought it's something to talk about because obviously there's a lot of people that work in the auto business around here in one way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And we just hear all these things about how difficult it is to get a car and this and that and everything else. And I just thought it was, you know, let's clear up a few things.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And it's in the 40 years or so that I've been in the car business, it's probably the biggest disruption of the industry that I've ever seen because it's across the board. Every manufacturer is experiencing the same thing. And on top of that, we're going through all these other changes. We're transitioning to electric vehicles and alternative fuel vehicles. We have dealer changes going on in the industry. So there's just a lot happening in the landscape right now.
It's a lot going on. And thank you for coming in and sharing all your knowledge with us. And Brad McAreevy, we'll talk to you again in early 2023.
Look forward to it.